is Sprint Week. It's Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media Station. Is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? From Radio Row in the Sunshine City of Houston, Texas, it is Joel Blank and Travis Johnson on ESPN 97.5 as we continue the fun games and shenanigans that Granato and Sean just handed off to us. And there's one thing that Salisbury could do is hand off the ball. I'm not as concerned when it's talking about handing off as throwing. But good show from those guys. Looking forward to doing this with you, my man. Very, very neat setup right here down at the GRB. I know people, as John was saying, kind of get upset from time to time about too many interviews, too many people pumping things. But at the same time, just a lot of great interviews and opportunities and a lot of faces that are familiar to both of us.
Oh, no question. I mean, I walked in here, of course, I seen James the header ball. I seen Cordell Stewart. And this is a slow day, you know, so it's going to get better as the week goes on. You know, hopefully we can get Cordell on.
Oh, we will. I already talked to him because I've golfed with Cordell forever, and he said he's going to stop on over. But that was his main concern, was with the weather so nice, where are we golfing? So good to see Cordell in town. Marcus Allen was up with these guys. Lot of big names roaming the building, and we should be able to reel in plenty of them throughout the week. But definitely a cool opportunity. We'll have some interviews lined up for you. In the meantime, we are going to continue with our regular show format as much as possible, simply because you guys like to also say that, again, we've heard your feedback. Sometimes Radio Row can be a bit monotonous because you get tired of hearing people that promote stuff. So at the same time, Travis, we're going to sit there and talk about what we normally do. And I would say right off the top, the main thing that we're talking about in the city of Houston is another loss for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that was a great game. You know what? And guess what, guys? I'm a little bit agitated today, so if I have drinks and food, you hear me chomping, that's all it is because I'm trying not to cuss nobody out today.
Except me. You wouldn't cuss me out.
No, I wouldn't cuss you out. But if you know me, I drop F-bombs and S-bombs and the N-bombs.
Yeah, nobody
else.
We rode over here. Travis and I rode over here, and we did so with a ride service. And I tried to explain to our driver, Joseph, that Travis is like a pitcher of water full of cuss words, and our goal was to make sure that pitcher was empty right as we got to the front of the George R. Brown so that they don't come out on the air, and he's really good about doing that. Unfortunately, we then found out that once we got on premise that there were going to be some bumps in the road that were going to refill the pitcher, so to speak. Is that fair?
Yeah. Here's the crazy part is, hey, Anthony, what's going on? When you get done, come over here.
So Travis is going to be like a fly fisherman this week, if you guys don't know. When he's here, he is fly fishing, and he is reeling in his guys from all over shout.
Well, Munoz is my guy, man.
Talk about a lot of weight he lost.
Me and his son came out of high school together.
Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz, the offensive lineman from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Me and his son came out of high school together, man. His son was actually Michael Munoz was one of the greatest high school players I probably ever have seen in my life. And you know what? He kind of just, you know, he retired when we were done with college. But back to the story of when we got here.
Yeah, let's get back to that. Quick Nick is here, too, by the way, as well. But Quick Nick took the 6 a.m. We took our ride over.
Yeah.
Travis emptied the pitcher of cuss words, so we were ready to go on the air. Then there were two Grand Canyon-sized ruts, potholes in my lawn, so to speak, if you want to De La Soul it. And those refilled the pitcher in a hurry for one Travis Johnson.
Yeah, you know what? When we got here, they told me that the media entrance, we were at 7. The media entrance was at 1 to get my credentials.
These are gates, right?
These are gates. We were at gate 7. The other gate was gate 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part about it is gate 1 was about 100 yards from gate 7.
Oh, it's more than that.
No, it was 100 yards.
It's farther than that. You went to the corner, then you went to the left.
No, and I'm saying from where we were at originally.
Okay, yeah.
from where I was petting a little German Shepherd, a little black German Shepherd.
Yeah, there's security dogs that are trying to sniff out bombs. Travis is playing with the dog.
It was 100 yards from where we were at.
Yep.
And the guy tells me that, yeah, it's right here, but you basically got to beat your feet and get around the block.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there like.
Now, we both tried to talk him out of it, right?
So I'm sitting there like, hold on, you telling me I can see the gate, but you refuse to let me walk to here. I said, man, listen, I play the game. I don't care about Radio Row. I don't care about NFL experience. I don't care about none of that. If it was up to me, I'd be home right now. I said, the only reason I'm out here because Joe begged me and pleaded me to come
out. First of all, begging and pleading did not get into this picture.
That didn't happen. Okay. But at the end of the day.
But it makes the story better.
It does make the story better. I basically had to walk almost 2 miles to get around the corner, which I was on a feeder road of, I was on basically
59
feeder road, walking down the road like I was a bum over here downtown.
I did notice several people did try and put a quarter in your cup and
exactly.
give you a meal.
When I tell you I was thoroughly upset to the point where if I walked in here, I was going to mother F somebody. And I had to say, you know what?
That's why we texted.
I said, let me go to the grotto. Let me grab me a Tito's and tonic. Let me grab me a triple crown and Coke.
Well, let's throw that in the mix. Thanks for looking out for your friends, too. Nick's already salivating.
Well, I bought you cheese and some meat and meats.
Why does everybody stereotype me because I'm from Wisconsin that you have to bring me cheese?
Well, I figure, you know, I got cheese.
It's not right.
Well, you know, I got cheese for these rats and honeys for these bees. You know what I mean? So, at the end of the day, I figure, you know, hey, you might like hood rats like I like hood rats, and I bought some cheese. Maybe you might be able to catch a few of them. But, no, I just, you know what? It helped me calm down. I called my wife, and she's like, dude, you know that concussion, the CTE be rolling. You know, I'm real ornery on – I'm ornery most of the time.
Ornery or honery?
Ornery.
Okay.
So, and she told me, she's like, dude, it's Monday. Calm down. And then she tells me my daughter decided she wanted to screw up on a test in school and not get 100% or not get an A, and I lost my rabid mind after that.
So, essentially, it was a combo platter from hell that has sent you into a tailspin of cuss bombs and I don't give an F.
Yep.
Pretty much, right? So,
but this meat and cheese platter we got over here is phenomenal.
You are a master of meat, especially when it's in your hand. Yeah. So I don't doubt you for a second, especially with a side of nuts. Is that what you got?
Yeah, of almonds. Try one of them.
So you have a side of nuts along with plenty of meat. I have to wear this 5 days in a row. I don't need you putting salad dressing on it.
No, try one of them.
What is it?
It's an almond. Try it.
I don't like nuts like you do. I'm good.
Try one. If you don't try one, I'm going to be mad.
Well, so what? You've already been mad all day. You're going to stop now?
If you don't try one, I'm going to be upset. Hey, Nate and Crate, y'all want to try one of these almonds? I got a little nice little platter over here.
Nate and Crater over here waiting to get Travis's nuts in their hand. We're here all day till 4 o'clock, and so we're having a lot of fun, and it's just Monday. A lot of people boycott Mondays because they say there's nothing going on. There is plenty going on around the George R. Brown, and there is a lot of good stuff to be had, a lot of good stories to be shared, and we look forward to sharing them with you. When we come back, we're going to talk about that game we talked about last night and kind of a preview of what I had warned you about was things to come with your Houston Rockets over the past week. The road trip was a disaster. The end result was pretty much the way the theme was for the entire week. And even though Eric Gordon was back, Ryan Anderson was also participating. When it came down to push and shove and get what you need to get out of the game, what they got out of it was a loss, and what we took out of it was more of what I've told you that this team is lacking and needs to work on if they're going to be considered a contender. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a whole lot more. My man Philpott back at the station, which makes me at ease because I know between Philpott and Quick Nick, we've got it all under control. We are ESPN 97.5.
Is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joe Blank and Travis Johnson from Radio Row here in H-Town. It's a strange city, but I think we're getting familiar with it as we go. We're trying to do what we need to do so that we get you who you want to hear from. We're going to take calls because it's a Monday here on Radio Row, so that means that everything's kind of laid back, and that means we don't really need everybody ushered in and out. We can still talk about what you want to talk about, including your Houston Rockets dropping another one last night to the Indiana Pacers as they wrapped up that road trip. So you guys can call in and talk about that, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter as we have the computers up. We have the internet running and rolling, and we'll be able to do what you guys want to do, and that is do what a regular show normally is, which is interaction, you guys helping us to drive the show. And then along the way, we'll have some guests. Travis already pulling in. Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz is going to join us a little later. One of the all-time offensive linemen from the Cincinnati Bengals, so that's great. But, Trav, we previewed it before the break. That loss by the Rockets again last night and a blowout loss at that, not a good sign for a team that's trying to right the ship.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's funny is that, you know, there was a lot of great basketball on last night. We talked about the Knicks going four overtimes.
Four overtimes, yeah.
And you know, my brother-in-law calls me and he goes, man, I'm just waiting on the first one to tap out because, you know, these guys are playing like they're trying to make it to March Madness. Like, you know, like normally – normally, you would think that they were going to check out and say, you know what, Carmelo's fouled out in the second overtime. We got all these other guys fouled out in the second overtime. Why don't we just call it a day? Let's take it in. And then you saw Golden State, and Golden State were in Portland. A dogfight.
Yep.
You know, with Damian Lillard, they literally won by what two? They won by one possession with 2 points.
It was a great game.
I think it was
a 10-point game going into the fourth quarter where Portland had clawed their way back in, then let Golden State get up 10. But that game was a lot closer than a lot of people thought it was.
Oh, it was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal basketball game. You know, for one thing, you know, my little Deucey is a avid Golden State fan. So
yeah, I saw the pictures, I know.
So all he hits me up with is, Daddy, put it on a Golden State game. Daddy, put it on a Golden State game. I said, well, the Rockets are on. I got to talk about the Rockets. And he literally was like, bump the Rockets. I want to watch Golden State. And I was like, well, Curry not playing. He said, I don't care. He said, Andre Iguodala's playing. He's probably going to shoot the lights out tonight. And Andre Iguodala had twice down the floor early. He was huge. You know what I mean? And you know, it's funny because I didn't even think of it like that. And I'm literally getting schooled by my 9-year-old. That's telling me.
I like that.
This is what's
going
to happen.
That says more about Deucey's future than anything about what the old man's got going right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. His old man ain't nothing. But
oh, he is.
Nuno, what's up, man?
Dude, look, Nuno, go away because here's the thing. Between the CTE and the ADD, we've got a lot of things that are initialized to make sure that our broadcast goes as smooth as sandpaper because he just darts out at you.
Would you like some hors d'oeuvres? We have a few hors d'oeuvres over here.
David.
I went to the grotto next door.
David, thanks for joining us. Put Travis's nuts in your hand and a few while we continue to talk basketball, which is a subject that you love. Travis was just touching on some of the great basketball that was going on last night in the NBA. The Portland Golden State game was fantastic. The Knicks and the Hawks going 4-0. Overtime's fantastic. And then the Rockets not so fantastic.
You know what we've seen is a little bit of last year, the last couple weeks. I feel that the tired legs, James, when he can't carry the team, you saw it firsthand.
Yep.
That's what happens. They start, the turnovers continue to pile up. The bad shooting piles up. They're tired now. I think that's what I'm seeing. I think that the season's catching up with them.
Well, here's the other thing, David and Travis. The thing that I'm sure I'll get hammered about this too, but the bottom line is watching this team, you're right, Dave. They revert to last year when James is kicking it out and the guys that are supposed to make shots aren't making those shots. That happened last night. They couldn't make threes. And I've kept saying to the listening audience and everybody that cares, look, if this team's going to be a contender on the nights when the three's not falling, they've got to find another way. They got to attack the paint.
Right.
They got to get the ball in the post. They're not doing either one of those things. Then when they start finally making a few shots, it seems to be too little too late. And defensively, they are not doing anything right. You saw a guy last night that was on a mission in Paul George. But Paul George was never so selfish that he wasn't going to distribute and make sure he kept other guys from his team involved. When the Rockets revert back to last year, James's turnovers go through the roof. And you see too many guys standing around stagnant, which does not allow for motion, flow, or the kind of activity and tempo they want to play at.
But whose fault is that? Is it because they're so used to seeing James do his thing that they hold back, or is it James's fault at the end of the day, or is it a combination?
I think it's a combo platter. It really is. And I think that, one, when James starts his normal routine of, I'm going to distribute, but when he distributes, if those shots aren't falling, and again, a lot of times when he does is he takes the penetration into the lane, kicks it out to the perimeter for the open three-point look. When he's doing those things and those shots aren't falling, he now starts thinking in the back of his mind, I'm not letting that thing go because all that's going to get us is either a turnover or a missed shot. So now I got to do it myself. And when he tries to do it, it's himself. Teams obviously are already keyed on him in the game plan. They're going to double. They're going to triple. They're going to collapse on him. That's when the ball starts slipping out of his hands.
That's what I'm scared about with the Rockets is when he has those 51-point games, they scare me because then we're going into ultra James Harden mode, and that's how they're winning games. As opposed to earlier in the season, they're winning games because Eric would give them 21. You'd get Ryan to do this. It's when it's all on James, it's all or nothing.
And here's the other thing, Travis, that I noticed that is a trend that I would have warned people about, especially on the Blitz because they bet on these things. When James Harden goes for 51, the next game, don't assume that he's going more than 25, 26 points, if that. Simply because he's so gassed, and the way the NBA schedule is, it's hard for him to rejuvenate and recharge the batteries that quick and come out. And again, when you take a guy like Paul George, who's always been a thorn in his side the way he can defend him, it's not an easy task as it is.
Never.
But when you drain the tank going for 51, now you've got even more of a challenge on your hands.
No question. I think, if he wants to recuperate, I got a guy that sells HGH, you know what I mean? He probably had to hook him up and get him right, but I mean.
Can you hook Nick up? Nick's been trying to do that too.
No, I think Nick needs more of a Diana ball. You know, he's needs more steroids along with the HGH to get him right. But I'm afraid that if Nick gets on it, you know, Nick might get too big. And Nick, hey, man, Nick, you see right now they had a ban the other day at the airports, man. I don't want you to get stuck nowhere. Yeah, I know you made it.
Okay, so take HGH out of it, but when you look at it from the bigger picture, they've dropped 7 of 10 or 7 of 11. Right. You know, this isn't what everybody.
This is what we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
You started this, started it. We talked about this.
I was the nail that was getting hammered from the big Sequoia because they didn't like me saying it.
They didn't like you saying it, and we talked about this. We said at the time, we said, listen, these guys are in third place right now. If they don't
third in the West.
They were third in the West. If they don't take this stretch and take it and do what they need to do, they could potentially fall to fourth or fifth in the West based on what they do with these next 11 to 14 games. And you've seen what they've done really, and it's getting ugly.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? And if Potter back there was quick Nick, we'd be hearing it's getting ugly because the bottom line is it is not pretty. And this is what I said when they were hot. David, and you can relate to this. I said this is the Ray Allen, Brent Berry Sonics team of a few years ago where they were so hot, so quick, got off to such a great start. They got home court advantage. No one could catch them, but then in the first round of the playoffs, they were knocked out. This is the same thing that they had to be worried about. Everybody's worried about the Clippers and saying, hey, you know what? Hey, the Clippers are hurt with Griffin and Paul out, so the Rockets are going to not only hold the three, they're going to be looking at two. I said be aware of who's around the Clippers. Utah's coming. Memphis, maybe not the best regular season start to a season because of the fact that Fizdale's new and they're getting some pieces. Memphis is a team you don't want to see later who could keep climbing the ladder.
Absolutely.
This is where they are right now, and this is the bed that you're laying in. And if they're not careful, they're going to be laying in a whole lot of mess because they have to capitalize when the Clippers are down.
Yes.
Capitalize when teams are getting it together. But if you let them hang around long enough, as we all know, you could be in for a firestorm come the first round of the playoffs.
But when all season, even when they were playing at their best, you look at the Western Conference, who was a guaranteed win in the playoffs? There hasn't been a guaranteed win for the Rockets 4 or 5 years. I guess a couple years ago when they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Dallas.
Everything lined up correctly. But beyond that,
right. And they should have lost the Clippers that year.
Oh, no question. They were down.
They were down 3-1.
That's the game. Yeah, not only down 3-1, but to come back from the Grand Canyon-sized hole they had going into the fourth quarter in L.A., you know that there was plenty to be said about that team was already having dirt poured over the top of them, and they were 6 feet under.
No,
but instead, they survived. But then everybody thought, well, this is the start of a 5-year run, that this team's going to be back over and over again. Didn't work out that way. And they have to understand every opportunity, as you've said, just making the playoffs in the NFL, is like the golden ticket. You're not guaranteed for every Wonka bar that you're going to find the golden ticket. When you get it,
you got to take advantage of it. And like I tell people all the time, like, oh, you know, we talked earlier, it was the race for eight for the Rockets. You know, we thought really in the beginning of the year it was going to be the race for eight. We didn't think they were going to be as good as they were early.
Yeah, David, I said instead of the hashtag pursuit label forever, it should be pursuit of the eight spot because that's the roster I saw at the start of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
And we talked about it.
And I think, you know, they've given us a lot better basketball than we expected.
Right.
But at the same time, right now you're just hoping you hold on for dear life to just make the playoffs and say, you know what, let's get a run where we can get triple doubles out of James Harden every night. Let's make a run where we can get all these guys to make big plays and be great supportive cast and play on defense. You tell a guy, let's get a month of defense from you, and we can potentially make a nice little run at this thing.
The biggest problem to me is when you rely on one player, and Oklahoma City is doing that. The Rockets have done that a lot. That doesn't work all year long. It's going to get you some fancy stats. It doesn't work. But I will say this. When they're true to the system, they're a fun team to watch, and they can beat anybody, but they have to stay true to that system.
And you can stick around for one more segment?
Of course.
Dave's here. Streaming. Dave, Trapp, and I are going to be here for a while. We're going to continue to talk about the Rockets. The big thing is that, and we're also streaming, by the way, on ABC13.com.
Correct.
So make sure you turn on the web and see how sexy Travis looks live and in living color, and we're just here as bookends for him. But we'll continue to talk about this, because, Dave, the one thing I want to talk to you about, too, as Travis and I have continued to talk about is, I don't point out the deficiencies to say, look at this team and how bad they are. I've said to everybody all along, enjoy the hell out of the regular season, because it's already been fun. As Travis said, they're playing a quality of basketball we haven't seen in a while. But until they show me that they can guard in the post, that they can defend and get and also get a basket when the threes aren't falling, do some of these things, get the other guys involved, I have real concerns about the postseason. So we'll talk about that. Yep. We'll talk about a whole lot more. We're here on Radio Row. It's Travis Johnson along with David Nuno and myself, Joel Blank. Right now, we're also going to hear from Fred Fowler, who is at a Sprint store and making sure that Texas Southern. Fred Fowler is at Sprint store, Texas Southern, and he's going to tell us what's going on with Sprint right now.
Well, actually, I'm here for the Hall of Fame Gridiron Glory museum exhibit, which is out here at Texas Southern University. It's going to be here through April 20th. So if you don't get a chance to get out here this week, it's going to be here. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. It's the largest traveling exhibit in its history from the Hall of Fame. And it's got all kinds of cool stuff here, jerseys and helmets. And I saw a Barcelona Dragons helmet here earlier. I mean, it's just loaded with really cool stuff. And they're open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And again, that's until April 30th. And if you're coming out, the best place to park is go to the West Garage at the corner of Blodgett and Ennis and just follow the signs. And come check this out, man. If you're a football historian of any kind, you'll want to see Gridiron Glory, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's out here on the TSU campus, which if you've never been out here, this is a beautiful little campus. And just a very cool exhibit. So come check it out. And guys, if you get a chance after Super Bowl week, you need to come out here and see some cool stuff because, yes, Joel, there is some Packers stuff here.
That's beautiful, Fred. My bad. I did not get the information, and I know we're sponsored by Sprint all week, but whatever you want to pick up for me, Packers-wise, you know I appreciate it.
Done and done, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. That is Fred Fowler. As you've heard about him, out and about, we're all going to be out and about all week long, so make sure you check in with us throughout the week and check our website for the whereabouts of everybody from Travis to Mario Ellie to Fred and AJ, Raheel, John Granato, Sean Salisbury, and the whole crew. We're going to be moving around all week long, moving parts, trying to give you the best in radio. That's why we are ESPN 97.5.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What's up, H-Town? We're back here on Radio Row. Travis Johnson is MIA, but I see him stumbling back to the broadcast area, so we'll expect him shortly and momentarily. My good friend David Nuno joining us right now as we were talking about the Rockets before the break. And, Dave, the thing that I've noticed, and I allude to, and some people get mad, say you're being petty or you're picking them apart too much. Look, I want this team to go far and do things. I still have a ton of friends in that locker room. Those players are great, and I want the best for them. But I see the deficiencies that are there, right? I see a team that scores a lot of points. When they make their threes, they're hard to beat. But just the same way that I don't want the organization solely focused on James winning an MVP and not concentrating on Eric Gordon, a guy that I thought should have been an all-star, should have been getting those votes, should have been something that the organization should have been promoting.
Right.
It goes back to what you said. This team is a team that is capable of a lot of things when they have the weaponry around James, like the shooters that are Eric Gordon. like if Ryan Anderson is on the road, because at home we know he's not shooting the same way. But they have the resources. And then the other thing that we keep saying that I keep harping on is, look, when Capella was out and even when Capella's in, there's a way to beat this team when you don't have a low post defensive force. And you need more than one in a lot of cases, because we saw what San Antonio did to him a few years ago. Boston did it on this road trip. Horford made a few threes, pulled Capella away from the basket, right, and it was a layup line down the middle. Again yesterday, you look at the thought of what could have been done with the bigs of Indiana, and all of a sudden it was a welcome mat that said, come on into the lane and keep scoring and attacking the paint. And when that's not there, by the way, we're going to knock down threes, while James had no help.
Going back to your original point, it's okay to have different thoughts as the season progresses, mm-hmm, right? So we go into the season thinking, there may be a 7-8 seed. Then you see this amazing run where they're hitting all these threes, and James is dishing it out and getting these 11 assists a game, and you're thinking to yourself, they're for real. And then they start beating some really quality opponents.
Right.
And now we're here at the third part of the season where we're like, well, we're not too sure of them. They are who they are. They're a team that when they're hitting their shots and they're sharing the ball, they can beat anybody. But in the Western Conference, especially in the Western Conference, if you're not hitting those shots, you have to bring something else to the table. And what is that other thing they have to the table? It's unfortunately, for them, a lot of times it's iso ball where people are standing around. You've got to get some low post defense, low post offense.
Right.
And if you're not getting those as a secondary option, you are then just a team that's going to shoot 40% and lose some games.
And here's the other thing that Travis and I talked about. Not only all the things that you just mentioned, but the thing that I'm really focused on is when you start talking about postseason, now the team that you're playing in a Belichick-type way is going to take away the thing that you do the best.
Yes.
So they are going to take away your perimeter shooting. They are going to focus on taking away your three-point shot, and they're going to say, beat us a different way. If in the regular season you haven't figured it out yet in terms of how to get it done and score points and win games when you're not making your three, guess what they're going to do in the playoffs? They're going to make you do exactly that, and if you can't do it, you're going to get bounced just as quickly as that ball bounces off the front of the rim when they're not shooting it like they shot it last night.
So what do you do? Does Daryl make a move right before the deadline? And I mean, because you can't change who you are right now unless you change your parts.
Yeah, and a lot of people got mad at me and said that, you know, they were critical of the fact that I said, look, bottom line is, I'm not judging this team until the postseason comes around, because Daryl's always been known to make at least one move before the deadline every year. So I think he'll try and do something that way. I think they'll scan not only who's coming over from after the Chinese season ends and see guys like a Michael Beasley that they scored last year, who was huge for them.
Right.
I think they'll look at those things. But I think to your point, and what the point I've been making all season long, is they need to look at that big man factor. They need a guy that low post wise can clog the middle, prevent people from penetration, get some rebounds. They need a guy that when you need a bucket and everything else isn't moving, one thing Demo was good for, offensively, he could make the moves,
yes,
to get a good open look on the block and give you what you need. That's what they're missing. I do think that there's room and time for improvement where they could fix that, but they got to start focusing on, instead of celebrating the great run, be more focused on what we need to do now to be ready for then.
So who's on your short list? Who would you like to see them, who's out there that can fit that?
Well, Trav, we talked about it. I think one of the guys that I mention all the time is Tyson Chandler.
Yes. Because
the contract friendly, because he's an experienced veteran in the locker room,
because yes,
he can rebound the basketball. You don't need him to shoot jump shots, or you don't need to call plays for him per se, but he has all the things necessary to be that guy.
Can you imagine him with James, too?
Fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
And again, we talk about how great Harden and Howard were on the pick and roll.
What about Paul Millsap?
What about him?
I think we should make a run for him.
Well, I think he would have been a great fit.
Yeah, I think so.
But Atlanta now has changed gears, and
right,
from doing fire sale, now they're scaling back, saying now we're not going to do something. But I think Paul Millsap's another guy. But again, contractually, that's a long-term deal. Daryl doesn't like to be on the hook for that, so I'm not sure that he's willing to make that commitment. With Chandler, very, very affordable deal, very short-term, big-time ramifications. What I was getting at is the way they run the high pick-and-roll with Harden and Howard, the way they used to, you run that with Tyson Chandler,
it's a wrap.
Chris Paul made him a multimillionaire 10 times over per year with, yeah, alley-oops and straight give-and-goes, things like that.
You know how double Tyson Chandler when we was in high school?
What?
There's, yeah, a visual that needs to be digested. Travis Johnson dunked on Tyson Chandler in high school. Yes, that's a pregnant pause because I'm digesting it as we speak. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Think about what it looks like. Yeah.
But back then he was what, a buck five wet?
Yeah, I mean, he was, when I was a senior, Tyson was I want to say he was a junior, maybe even a sophomore.
Yeah.
But he's still been 7 feet forever.
Well, he's 7 feet, and he looks like one of the cops in this
back
place.
Then, but that, back then, he was softer than quadruple quarter Charmin, though. You know, I think he was a junior. And I see.
That's when you were svelte.
I was very svelte.
You were chiseled.
I was about 270, looked like a Greek god.
Oh.
When was the last time you dunked?
He says he can still dunk, by the way.
Really?
Right now, at 350, it's a little harder.
We have a ramp if
about,
he needs
but
it.
About 330, if I get down to 330, I can still dunk.
I got a great workout plan for you. You do it. No carbs for a week. Let's do it.
Yeah, we can do it.
By the way, this is the other thing that's amazing to me, because between Barry Laminack and Travis Johnson, I have the people that run the gamut of weight loss and weight gain. Travis says he can easily gain 20 pounds in a week.
And I can lose the same.
Barry says if he goes to salads, he can lose 5 pounds in 2.5 days. I'm kind of in the middle going, what the hell's going on around me?
But that's really nothing, though. I mean, I can lose 20 pounds in a week and a half if I really put the time.
20 pounds in a week and a half?
These are all things I want to see before as this show progresses. Because Nick also believes that he can put on 15 pounds in a week, and we're going maybe 7.5.
Hey, I can do 7.
It was a month left. We ended OTAs. This was Coop's first year.
In Houston.
We ended OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
I was 335 pounds.
Okay.
We had about 3 weeks. Coop was like, you need to come back 302. And I'm like, 302? Like, ain't no way I'm coming. So he's like, you need to be 302 when we get back. I came back, I was 304. 3 weeks later.
That's not good enough. That's 2 pounds overweight.
But the crazy part, he was like, you know what? We've seen the work. We realize you did, so you can – let's make 305 your new weight limit. I'm like, dude, I'm about damn near ready to kill myself.
How'd you do it?
Water. I cut out the sodas, the drinks, water, salad, turkey, chicken, and brown rice. That was it.
You know they
and
say
– and salmon.
You should eat more when you're trying to lose weight, but smaller
meals.
Five meals a day.
I did 6 meals a day, but just that. So it would be – it'd be broccoli. I would do a gallon to a gallon and a half of water a day.
Whew.
I would do broccoli with every meal, including breakfast. I would do salmon in the morning. I would do turkey. I would eat like turkey sticks all day long.
Safe to say your favorite consonant on Wheel of Fortune was P.
Oh yeah, I mean, but I got a strong bladder, so I mean, I'll pee more for having drinking.
You have a strong lots of things, but yeah, I would go with bladder as being one of them. I'm not going to argue that.
I drink half a gallon of Crown. It might go urinate once.
Hey, okay. Travis, let me brag on your co-host here today. I've known Joel since 2001. Back in the day, I was an intern at the Rockets. He was the director of broadcasting. Never treated me like an intern. We hung out. He was always very good to me. He's a little meaner now to me that I'm.
If you don't say hi when I walk by you in a very concealed area, but yeah.
I was on the phone. That being said, I have known Joel a very long time, and we've played basketball together. Yep. He's actually very good. It's been a few years since I played with you.
Yeah, Raheel and I played a month ago. You need to come out with us.
That's a great thing because, you know, one of the rumors about Joel, he's the bully interns, and I'm like, not the Joel I know.
See?
Devil is a liar.
I used to make sure all of our interns ended up with jobs.
Yep.
Radio station-wise and Rockets-wise because, you know, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. No, now they lead right out of Channel 13 where they lead the sportscast.
When I was in a transition period in career, I was trying to figure out what was next. Joel was a mentor. He would tell me, you should do this. You should apply here. I'll talk to this guy. He's always been in my corner. Except the last 6 minutes. Other than that, he's been there.
Overall, look, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we look out for each other.
You know, Nuno's my guy, man. Nuno's always one of those guys where I could be ready to sleep a Sunday away.
Which is, again, not shocking.
And Nuno is like, hey, man, I need – or you know what? It'd be Justin Sternberger called me.
Yep.
And Justin would call me like, hey, you might go on with Nuno at like 9 in the morning. We'll hit at 9. And I'm like, dude. I said, you know what? If it wasn't for Justin, actually coached Ducey in baseball 1 year. I don't think he's coaching anymore because Justin's about ready to wring the neck of a couple parents.
Which can happen.
It was like one parent. I'll never forget this. Justin was, and I don't know if he's telling you the story. So Justin is coaching. He's coaching a little coach pitch team, and there are a couple kids. They might be one chromosome short, maybe not. But by the way,
Dave, this is on a daily basis. This is stuff that he says. Was it Friday that you said Raheel and Nick are on no fly list?
They're definitely
the watch list.
They're on the watch list. No question.
So don't let me interrupt your story. Please go.
So there's a couple kids that are losing their mind in the background. And Justin's trying to coax hitting and coaching, taking ground balls and all this other stuff. And a parent decides to curse out Justin about the kids playing too much. But the same time, Justin was like, how long have you been out here? Why won't you check your child? He said, there's a couple other parents out here. The kids won't move until I tell them to move. So that tells, that's a reflection on your parenting. It was the craziest thing ever. And Justin was like, you know what? And Justin's like the nicest dude in the world. And he literally was like, man, you know what? F this, man. I'm not doing this anymore.
These are the great stories that we get, Dave. By the way, we had another one where Travis was minding his own business, sitting behind the backstop. And a parent from the other team decided to question his questioning or not questioning that of the umpires. And Travis decided to throw caution to the wind and put his body between him, the parent, and the field. And it got interesting from there. But it's a lot of fun.
He's always the first athlete to show up. You can't say that about other athletes.
No, and he tells me that.
He shows up early. Hey,
no
guys,
question.
This is fun. Thank you.
Hey, we love having you. David Nuño, as always, a pleasure. Been joining us. Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, David Nuño. We are here on Radio Row in Houston, Texas. It is the week of the big game, and we will be promoting a whole lot going around that football game. But, of course, we're going to keep it real, keep doing the show like we like to do it, to make sure you are informed and you're on top of your local as well as your Super Bowl. We are ESPN 97.5.
Bill Barnwell, head over to SeatGeek.com and search Bill Barnwell to get tickets today. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Nick.
At the studio, you have your hands full because, as you found out firsthand, you guys are hot means nothing other than Travis thinks he looks good today. And he will let you know how the nuts are. And he was talking about those that he is eating, by the way, just to be clear. But that is the kind of show that we can run from
that
time to time.
That may or may not have gone out on air. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But that is the spice of life. It is variety provided by Radio Row.
Well, like I was saying, the nuts are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. So then you mix in the variety of meat that you have in your hands.
Yeah.
And you know that you are absolutely putting it all together. By the way, putting it together means you are also facilitating great guests like the one coming in right now, Anthony Munoz.
One of the greatest of all time.
One of the greatest, and I have preached this without you being here, but I have said one of the greatest of all time, greatest lineman of all time. And then Travis gets to say the still more stories from home version of the other side of it. But thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good being with you.
Well, not only one of the greatest Trojans, you know, you got to remember, I grew up in L.A.
Yep.
End up going across the country. But one of the things I grew up watching, great offensive linemen. They were older than me, but I got to watch Anthony Munoz.
Yep.
I got to watch Bruce Matthews. I got to watch all these great offensive linemen that came out of Southern Cal in the McKay days.
Yeah.
And you know, even early when John Robinson was there, I wanted to go to – when they fired John Robinson, I had to take USC off my list, and it broke my heart. You know, but one of the things is how I met Anthony Munoz originally. You know, I just called him Mr. Munoz.
Yeah.
I read him originally was me and his son were All-Americans together come out of high school. And I thought his son was the greatest offensive lineman I had ever – his footwork was phenomenal. His hands were phenomenal. He was so light on his feet. And I swear, I'm like, dude, when it came time for us to go to the league, I'm like, dude, this guy's going to be first-round pick.
Yeah.
I think injuries is the only thing set him back. But I think he was great.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, of course, they were coming out at the same time. And Michael actually went to a camp at USC when John was there because John played for John.
Yep.
It was before his sophomore year in high school. And then so he loved it. So he came home, and then John got let go.
Yeah.
And Mike Berry, who was his line coach, went to Tennessee.
Yeah.
So then the next year I took Michael to a camp. He went to a couple camps, went to a Tennessee camp, fell in love with Mike Berry, and, of course, the rest is history.
And that's the trip we were on. That was the first trip we were on together. Was Mike, Casey, myself.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it was a great trip. And
I'm thinking, hey, Michael, what's with this Travis guy? Why isn't he coming here, man?
They didn't offer enough money.
I wasn't going to say that.
So what brings you here now? I mean, obviously it's a big week with the Super Bowl and everything like, but you've got some things that actually are making a difference as well, and I think that's something that people need to know about.
Well, this is our fifth Super Bowl. I actually got in here Sunday, which was yesterday, I guess.
Yeah.
We just finished earlier today. We had 300 kids about 6 years ago. Michael and I, my son, we flew up to New York. After he played at Tennessee, went and got his MBA. He was a Procter & Gamble for about 6 years, then left.
Okay.
So we went up to the NFL and said, you know, well, you got this Play 60 program, which is great.
Right.
But at my foundation for 15 years, I've been doing character camps, taking young men, teaching them football, but teaching them character, team building. I said, we need to take your Play 60 and add character and team building. So 6 years ago, we started. We've been in 23 NFL cities. We've been in Mexico the last 3 years. So this is our, I think, fourth or fifth Super Bowl that we've been here doing the NFL Play 60 character camp. So we had 300 kids up in, is it upstairs, I guess, downstairs. You know, we recruit coaches from here. I bring a great coach. He's in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He's been an educator for 30 years, a coach for 30 years. Phenomenal. He does my camps in Cincinnati, and then he's been doing most of them around the country. And then, so we use the platform of football. We teach them some football, but then we give them the Play 60 message. We give them character. We give them team building. And so that's what I love doing.
And the NFL's been doing a great job, too, because you see the Steve Smith commercial, and it's not about teaching kids about, you know, running routes and celebrating. It's, you know, it's doing the right thing in school.
And you know what? They embraced Steve Smith's past in that commercial. Did you see when he's breaking up the fight?
Yes,
like, this
yes,
is how you break
yes,
up
I
the
did.
Fight.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. And I think I thought that was the beauty of everything.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. The league supports it because obviously you know you can only do so much.
Right.
But when you have that marketing blanket that is the NFL, you can go across borders and do so much more. I think it's fantastic.
Well, and the great thing about it, like I said, we've been in 23 cities, all the teams. Even though we're running them, it's an NFL asset. The teams have been ultra, ultra just supportive. Their staff's out. They don't have to run them. We run them, but they assist us. And so, like I said, we've been in 23. We've been in Houston the last 5 years. The Texans have been great. The Raiders have been great. I mean, every team we work with has been phenomenal. San Diego, Tampa, just go right down the line. So it is. I mean, they understand that character is big.
Mm-hmm.
The game of football. You know, a lot of these kids we have, first-time exposure to football.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a Hispanic outreach, but it's become, multicultural. A lot of these kids have never gone to a football
you
camp.
You need to call me. You know, I'm a Panamanian. I don't speak any Spanish, but, you know, being a Panamanian, I am, you know.
We'll be back in Houston, and, you know, we'll get you out there.
Yeah, he needs to be out there, but he needs to do something else. He needs to work with you on his conditioning. Okay,
hey,
because
we'll do that.
This after playing thing that he's got going on, I noticed that, you know, I've heard all along that the big guys can either go one way. They can either go, like, put a basket under them and fly them over football games, or they become svelte athletic guys that cut 100 pounds of weight. We're working on it because we don't want the basket was ordered, but we don't want him flying, so we need your help.
No, I encourage guys because, you know, what we put our bodies through, and, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, high school and college and pros. I mean, what we put our bodies through, we don't have to continue that after we retire. And, you know, it's one of those things where you can really curtail a lot of what we're going through. I mean, I can tell I played 13 years because, believe me, I've had, you know, probably 15 surgeries. But because I work out an hour and a half every morning, I feel pretty good. And it gives, well, when you're chasing eight grandbabies, you need some energy.
You got eight grandbabies. How many kids Mike got?
Michael has four with his fifth on the way.
Wow.
And so my daughter has four.
No.
We are, my wife Dee Dee and I are in paradise with these.
That's fantastic.
You know, and I feel that it's productive. I can go to my office and my foundation and the small companies. And, you know, I kid my son, Michael, and our staff, you know, because after a morning like this, you know, like, we're tired. We got to take a nap. I said, what do you mean, this old man? We're ready to go. Let's go to Top Golf and let's go do this. But, no, it's I really encourage, you know, guys. I've had a couple of my line mates from the Bengals who, I mean, one of them was up four bills.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a young man in high school, and I think he's close to 300 now.
Yeah.
And he's continuing to work down.
That's great.
Because, you know, I don't like reading about the guys that just, you know.
They keep, we had another one die today. I think it was Farr or not, no.
Today?
Yeah, another guy. I'm going to tell you his name in a minute. But, you know, one thing about, because your daughter played. You see, a lot of people don't know. His daughter also played, was an NCAA athlete. She played Tennessee and Oklahoma, right?
Well, 1 year
I remember seeing the story,
And then transferred and played three at Ohio State. I think we've given away that she's the best athlete in the family.
Oh, no question.
She was a two-time Division I player of the year in Ohio, two-time Miss Basketball, and pretty much could have gone anywhere. But she committed to Tennessee after her sophomore year. And, you know, after a year there, she felt it was time to move on, went and played for Jim Foster at Ohio State 3 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, one thing that Michael and I had to do, we had to keep her in the paint.
Yeah.
Because if she got out and shot, we were just like dead.
She wanted to shoot all day long.
We wanted to put body on her and, you know, send her in. Michael would, I can't tell you how many times Michael sent her in crying. And she'd go right back out. And he says, you know, I made you who you are. I made you tough.
You know what? But, I remember that visit when we were in Tennessee. Yeah. And the first time I met her, I said, Mike. I said, man, your sister might be a better athlete than you. I was like, I can see her right now. She might dunk on you before the night is over with if you ain't careful. Yeah.
That's outstanding. And did she try and think about the WNBA afterwards?
That really wasn't her future. You know, she was a post player in high school, mm-hmm. all-time leading scorer. And the crazy thing, and you guys know basketball, she was right at six, a little under six, post player from the age of nine through high school, got to Tennessee.
Now she had to be a two-guard or three-guard.
She was a two-guard in Tennessee. But then when she went to Ohio State.
That was under Coach Summit, right?
Her natural position was four. But as a two-guard, you know the first thing she tells me? She goes, Dad, I can't get physical with those two-guards like I can with the post player.
Yeah,
she was used to pounding.
That's a foul.
But she shot 58% from the field as a two-guard, so she could shoot.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
It was fun.
Well, we definitely appreciate you spending some time. I know you're making the rounds and have a lot of places to go.
Tell Mike, come on, man.
He's overeating with a couple of our staff.
Tell Mike he's starting to stop feeding his face and he can come hang out.
We need to get – that would be a picture to see with these two guys then and now.
Yeah, he'd be a great interview. He's amazing. You know, he's the one that introduced me at Hall of Fame a day after his 17th birthday, and I didn't even have to talk. I mean, I shouldn't have talked after he gave his speech. He's phenomenal. But,
that's incredible.
Travis knows him, and he's a great young man. In fact, he just took a job with the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so he's helping with their Center of Excellence.
With Mr. Baker. Yeah.
With Mr. Baker.
Yes.
Big Mr. Baker.
But a testament to what class is in this league and the fact that you can cross generations. Fantastic to have you. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Enjoy your week.
Good seeing you, man. Hey,
definitely a great time.
We'll smoke a cigar before the week is over. When Mike comes over, I'll give him my number. Yeah, of course.
There you go. Anthony Munoz has been our guest, Hall of Famer. And now, again, like we said, doing things with the Play 60 program with the NFL. A lot of great things with him and his son. And, again, his son coming up right there with Travis Johnson, doing anything and everything together as they were competing, trying to get scholarships and trying to move on. You said he was a hell of a player. Just injuries stopped him from continuing to play in the NFL.
He was a hell of a player. He was a 4-year starter at the University of Tennessee. In the SEC's heyday, when Tennessee was at his best, he was a 4-year starter there. I mean, you talk about Anthony Munoz, you talk about Mike Munoz, you talk about a guy who could really play some ball and was really a good dude. He was accountable. You know, they always say best ability is accountability, and he was the epitome of that.
That's fantastic. So there's the story within the story that we're always good at giving you. Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, one in the books, two to go, plenty more show right here from Radio Row in H-Town. We'll be back with much more ESPN 97.5. Wish I could find a way to disappear.